Ryan Seacrest here. Every great barbecue has one secret ingredient. Patience. You do a little, and you wait a little. And while your dinner does its thing, you got a few minutes to yourself, right? Well, kick back with a little Chumba Casino. A flip and a spin. Who knows? Maybe even a login bonus. It is the perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
And welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today with you here on Sports Grid. Today is December 15, 2020. Thanks for joining us here on the show. If you want to go back and watch on demand, Joe and I really broke the game down last night between the Browns and Baltimore Ravens for the first 30 minutes of the show. So on demand, you can always access our videos, sportsgrid.com, on YouTube, or wherever you stream your platforms. We do the show every single day, Monday through Friday, 2 hours a day from noon to 2 Eastern. And certainly we cover it all. We did cover plenty of football in the first hour. We still will cover football in this hour, but we're going to pivot over to some other things here as well, because we don't just cover football on this show. Speaking of which, let's hit on a little bit of baseball as we're closing in on the end of what they're calling the winter meetings. But the truth is there's really no meetings going on. Red Sox signed Hunter Renfroe to a 1-year, $3 million deal. Chaim Bloom, the new general manager of the Red Sox, said, Alex Verdugo is their center fielder, and Hunter Renfroe's in right. That will be very interesting, considering Jackie Bradley is a free agent, has been with the team for a decade, but I guess that's the end of the line for him. Greg Holland re-signs with the Royals. Boy, they made a nice deal of this yesterday. Welcome home, Greg Holland. Greg, I know he bounced back a little bit last year, but, I mean, come on, let's get real. It's still Greg Holland, right? Season in the NBA continues tonight here in South Florida. The Miami Heat played their first preseason game last night in front of an empty crowd. And the media were all like, wow, look at this. It's unbelievable. There's nobody here. I'm like, have you not been watching the last, like, I went to all these Marlins games with nobody there? I don't care. Okay, five ranked teams play tonight in college basketball, so I'll be in on a couple of those. Most interesting, I think, is, let's see, Illinois-Minnesota in the Big Ten. I think that's probably the coolest one. Amy Olsen finishes second in the U.S. Open despite an unbelievable tragedy over the weekend. One of her family members passed away, and she ended up winning. It's a great story. Did not get enough attention, unfortunately, but wanted to bring it up. Congratulations to Amy Olsen. Here on this show. But look, college basketball is in full force. We got the NBA starting up this weekend. I know it's going to be a huge season coming up. And Joe, they're going to play these games outside of Toronto. Toronto's playing in Florida, but they're going to be playing in NBA arenas without fans. And we heard a little bit of news a little bit ago. We could bring it back here again about the possibility of Major League Baseball starting their season in May, which would be horrible for me. That's not what I want, but certainly that could be a possibility. And if so, that certainly means that everything going on right now that is slow would make a little bit of sense, because there would be no rush to get anybody signed. And this winter, instead of December, pretend it's November, and then next January, pretend it is December. But I guess we're going to have to see. This is all a moving target for all sports.
Yeah, and I also got to understand, too, like, if you're giving up games on TV just to get make sure you have people in the stands, is that a good trade-off? And I mean, it must be economically, otherwise why would they be doing this? But I'm kind of hard pressed to think that the advertising money and the TV deals somehow, you know, if you're going to punt on those in April, that's worth it because you're going to get fans back in May through the rest of the season. I don't know if I'm sold on that. This is a good idea. I mean, you had it last year, you were bringing in revenue. So would they rather have no revenues, or are they just trying to, like I said, keep trimming this regular season down incrementally here and there and trying to take pieces? I don't know. It's very strange. But I will say this. Last night, there was a stunning amount of people at the game. And I don't know if it kind of registered with you, but it registered with me. It was more people than I remember seeing at a game outside of Florida, obviously, where anything goes, in quite some time. And it really did kind of feed the atmosphere of this game. And it felt like it fed the Browns quite a bit. And it felt like a bit of an advantage. And it was, I think, something that I haven't seen anybody really discuss yet. And I'm curious what your thoughts were, because I thought, as we welcome in our radio audience here to Fantasy Sports Today, I would say that having that crowd last night in that game did add to the mystique of it. It added, I think, to the Browns' momentum in this game. And I'll tell you what, it was kind of, in a way, it was kind of jarring to have that many people at a game, and you're watching the game, you're like, wow, there's people and there's cheers and they're kind of close to each other. And I don't know how you felt, but did you kind of factor that in as a big piece of last night's game?
I noticed it, but I didn't really think about what you just said until now. But I did notice it. It definitely felt like there were a pretty significant amount of fans at the game for sure. And look, we're down the road now here at the NFL where there is no complaining about it. But I got to tell you, if this started up again next year and we were still having the same conversation, I think they would. It's a state by state deal, but the NFL would absolutely have to figure out some way to make it universal where either you're allowing fans or you're not. This year, there was no choice. It just basically was up to the states. The season had to go on. I don't think the NFL was going to step in the way of what the governor of Florida did or the governor of California moving teams. I mean, everyone was just on completely different pages.
You got one governor who says, everybody come to the game. The other guy saying, no, you're the team. The team can't even be here. Forget people in the stands. You can't even have the team here. It's crazy. Yeah, and what's going to happen to the playoffs this year because of it?
Yeah, and I don't think that they could fight. It's just kind of like we got to go with it. But in fairness to the NFL, that's not something I'll hold them accountable for this year. Next year, knowing what the scenario is, they would have to be. And I would also hold baseball accountable for that, too. Like, you have a lot of time still between now and opening day. It's December. Yeah. You have all of January, all of February, all of March. We already know. And if you don't, I mean, even though the stadiums here in Florida are preparing for fans, you already know that spring training is not going to resemble what it did last year, and we just have to accept that. But the regular season, by the time April kicks around, Major League Baseball and the players, the owners, they have to have their act together in time. They've got plenty of time to figure this out. Spring would be a different scenario. If you said to me, were you nervous about opening up on Valentine's Day for spring training and fans being allowed and all that? Of course I'm nervous. That's really close by. I mean, that's in February. It's 2 months. Mm-hmm. But April is still enough distance away where a possibility of a vaccine for some people. And hopefully people that are taking the vaccine can go attend sporting events, having no opinion whatsoever of what you choose to do in your life. That's completely up to you. Okay, sports card conversation is coming up next. Hottest guy in sports cards right now. Of course, Patrick Mahomes still out there. Lamar Jackson with the great game last night. But what to do? Jalen Hurts of the Philadelphia Eagles. Got his first start. Quarterback is hot. Is it time to buy now? See you next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As we get ready to look at the ever-growing sports card market, things are just blowing up every single week. Basketball's coming soon. Baseball right around the corner. And, of course, NFL football about to hit the NFL playoffs. Who better to check in with the guy who sends more cards to get graded to PSA than anybody else in the country each and every week? He knows who's sending in what, the grades that are coming back, and he sees more cards than anybody else outside of the company themselves. Josh Cohen joins us now. PCSportsCards.com. They do a great job each and every week here on the show. Not only that, but also doing consignment with people who send cards in and not. Very on top of the business and what you should be thinking as a collector or as an investor. Josh, great to see you here this week. What's going on?
Hey, Craig. Listen, Friday night was a great start to the weekend. When you beat your rival 70-7, it really doesn't get better than that. Basketball team tried ruining it last night, but thankfully Remy could hit the corner shot. Beat Grand Canyon University by one.
Congrats. That's awesome. Congrats.
Can't ruin my week that way, right? It's too too much there. So yeah.
At least
had a great weekend.
Kansas State.
Michigan's plan failed. You know, Ohio State's still in the championship game, but still okay.
All right. Well, listen, we're headed toward the end of the college football season and really toward the end of the NFL season as well. And so what we lean you on for is, and I think this is a little bit more of a complicated question this week, is people who collect cards, it's very easy for them this week. Here's what they do. Anybody who wants the hot card, they go on eBay, they type in Jalen Hurts of the Philadelphia Eagles, and they buy it at the very highest price. Because right now is probably his peak outside of if he gets to the playoffs or the Super Bowl one day, which, you know, that's not going to happen this year. So on top of that, because he's a rookie this year, a lot of folks are sending cards of his to you. to get graded. So what is the strategy here with Jalen Hurts? Because we are coming toward the end of the year. Would you sell all the Jalen Hurts cards you have raw, as they say, basically without graded? Would you send them to you or to PSA to get graded? And furthermore, do you think that this is the peak, like before a player actually is good, selling him before he is good is kind of the way it works?
So here's the thing. You know, it's a tricky situation. You know, the Eagles, I mean, they could make the playoffs because who knows what's going on in the NFC East. They could make a run. I don't have really a lot of faith in it. I don't think anybody should. So don't be an emotional buyer right now. Try to think with your brain and not with your heart when it comes to this. And I would say if you're picking those cards up, give it a week, let it cool down, see what happens next week. And if you're going to set, when you send them in for grading, don't get caught in the cycle of sending them in for the $65 grading or the $25 grading. These cards, even if you send them in for $25 or $65, you're looking at getting them back in January when they're already eliminated from the playoffs. So you're not going to take advantage of it.
Right.
So First and foremost, if you have it, you don't believe in them, sell them now, right? Don't believe in him, sell him now. Next, if you do believe in him and you have some of these cards or you're picking them up, look at the bulk submission. It's going to take 6 to 8 months, but when you get them back, you're looking at July, August, September, that time frame, and that's when football starts heating up because everybody's going to be in the Super Bowl, everybody's going to be in the MVP, and quarterbacks explode. He's going to have the job. That's when you want to get those cards back to maximize the market.
Now, I think that for people who may be watching and don't really understand the dynamics of the submission process, and it's not something that we have discussed all that much, but when people submit cards to you, there's different pricing tiers. You guys can go to Josh's website. We don't need to go, like, super in-depth on that. But I think that the part that may scare some people, Josh, honestly, is when you say 6 to 8 months, people are saying, wait a second. Like, and we haven't talked about this all that much, but 6 to 8 months is a really, really long time. And there is some risk involved in that process as well, because you never know what can happen. I would suppose that the cards would only go up in that interim, but why does it take? I think that's probably the best question. Why does it take 8 months to get cards back at the level that we're discussing, which is a cheaper level to get cards graded?
I mean, that's the key word there, Craig, cheaper, right? PSA has prioritized 20-day and faster orders, and they're still taking 3 months, even though they're a priority. And then you get to bulk orders, which take longer. When you put a lot of new cards with different variations and different parallels in them, it takes them a little bit longer to research it, a little bit longer to assemble it when they're done with the grading, so that the process just takes a little bit longer. The one really good thing about it is while you did spend money on the cards themselves, you could choose how much you're spending. You could buy Jalen Hurts cards for probably as low as a dollar or two, or you could spend thousands of dollars. It's really up to you. But the grading fee doesn't come out until the end of the process, right? You're not paying for grading up front. You're not going to say you have these 30 cards. You're not going to pay $450 today to get them graded. You're going to pay them at the back end. So the time value of that money isn't really a problem. It's really the longevity of the wait for the submission to come back. And that's why we're saying that's the strategy, right? We're not talking about baseball where you need your cards back in March and April. We're not talking about basketball where you need them back yesterday or January, right? We're talking about football. Right now, you know, you have a good idea who the playoff teams are. You have a good idea of who the actual contenders are. So we're starting to price that into the market already. Be smarter than everybody else. Know that that's getting priced in. Take advantage of the time frame that we have now to spend less money on the grading and actually realize the profit at the right time of the year to sell, which is right before the season for most of the major sports.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. And look, I know that we see it a lot on message boards, and I'm part of it as well. There is a lot of frustration with waiting for the cards. But I got to tell you, making comments all day long on message boards and posts about it being a long time, if you use that energy into figuring out what the next great investment is, you probably would make yourself out more a little bit of money if you did it that way. But I get it. I get the frustration. But the bottom line is that there's nothing can be changed until the company changes. So from that, certainly we move on. Look, we understand if you invest.
The funny part about that is people that sent their Mahomes cards in last November and December and didn't get them back till April or June made 10 times their money because they didn't get them back, right? So like, it's frustrating. You want to see the profits, but there's also the extra time frame could be good sometimes.
Yeah, no, it could. And look, there's positives, there's negatives to everything baseball. Look, if you invested in Soto, Tatis, and Acuna, you waited a long time, you made a ton of money. If you invested a lot in Aquino and Ohtani, you lost a lot of money. It's give and take. It's like gambling. It's like anything else. You're taking chances on stocks. You're taking chances on players. There's no doubt. I think that's a good explanation for it. You know, Josh's turnaround times, you can see on the website. He posts them there at PCSportsCards.com. Also, PSA on their own website. Post what their expected turnaround times are. Okay, before we go, we spent a lot of time on that. All right, before we go, let's move on to the Guess the Grade segment. Now, we're going to move on to one of my cards that I have sent into one of Josh's express orders. So we're thinking maybe at the end of the month, maybe early January, we'll get this thing back in a few weeks. This is a Julius Erving rookie card from 1972. So we'll start with you, Josh, and then anybody who wants to comment, they can make a comment on our YouTube page or hit us up on Twitter at Craig Mish, at SportsGrid. Josh Cohen, what do you got? You see more cards than anybody. So what do you think this Dr. J card grades out as?
I'm going to guess it's between a 2 or a 3. It's very clean looking. It displays really nice, right? If you're looking at a 2 or a 3, this is one of the better ones. Color's really nice, really well centered. You look at the bottom corner, you see a little bit of a wrinkle. And if you see, if you look under his left arm, you see what's called a fisheye. And that's just a printing defect that was around in the 70s. A lot of cards have them. Unfortunately, it knocks off 2 or 3 grades from your card, probably about 2. That's what it does.
You're too tough on my cards, man.
It's not me being tough on your cards. Yes. It's the printing defect. And, I mean, you shouldn't have let your dad wrinkle it, and then it wouldn't have a problem.
Who was to know that cards that we had this long ago? But meanwhile, the Wilt Chamberlain card from 1971 that I sent in did a little bit better than we thought it was. All right, so Josh, your official grade is a 2 on this?
Sure.
That's right?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay, I'm going to go with a 3.5. Of course, it's my card. Josh has no investment in this. I'm going 3.5.
I will always be harder on a card. It's just what I do. I'd rather... When I tell people what their grade's going to be, I'd rather say, hey, listen, I think this is going to be a 3, and then you get a 4 or 5, and you're super pumped. If I told you it's going to be a 5, and then you get a 3 or 4, you're a little pissed at me.
Yeah, no, that's true. I'm pissed at you anyway all the time, waiting for my cards back. I'm just kidding. Josh Cohen, hit him up on Instagram, his website, PCSportsCards.com. Again, I submit cards with Josh through the group submissions, and certainly a lot of them are for my collection, but of course, got to pay for those submissions too, so I'll consign some as well. Hey, Josh, great to see you again. Good luck to Arizona State. If you make a bowl game, probably not, and we'll talk again next week, okay?
We'll be 2-2. We'll be in a bowl game. Thanks a lot.
2 wins gets you in a bowl for Josh's ASU Aztecs. We'll be right back on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We got some very big breaking news in the NBA. As Shams Charania of The Athletic is reporting that Giannis is signing a 5-year, $228.2 million Supermax extension with the Milwaukee Bucks, the largest deal in NBA history, which is huge on a number of different levels, Joe. Huge, number one, because a lot of folks figured in a year or two Giannis was going to work his way out of Milwaukee, which clearly is not the case. At least I think I with the NBA, I never know for sure, but I'm going to say
you never know with the NBA. That's true. It's true. Yeah.
But this kind of money and signing this kind of contract to me indicates he is staying in Milwaukee, which honestly, outside of, you know, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and you know, the Brewers, you know, had their, you know, Robin Yount years too, and Paul Molitor, but this becomes arguably the iconic player in the state of Wisconsin and in Milwaukee, and maybe players will now go play with Giannis and the Bucks. I don't know, but it certainly would appear that teams that had their eye on him, that were thinking that they were going to be able to chase him down or, you know, kind of entice him to go with one of the other stars somewhere in the NBA. I know that the Warriors were hoping that, the Miami Heat was hoping that. That's done. It looks like that's done. He's going to stay in Milwaukee.
Well, you're not wrong. Anything can happen in the NBA. God knows we've seen it happen before. But yes, for the foreseeable future, it would seem that Giannis is going to stay put. And this is the kind of coin you make when you win a couple MVPs back-to-back. And this is what it looks like. And I think everybody in Milwaukee is probably super excited about it because they are used to losing. You know, when you're in those smaller market teams, you're used to it sometimes. You're losing your best players eventually to free agency, losing your best players to bigger markets. And, you know, it's tough. It's tough to be a small market fan in any sport, even sports with a salary cap, because there's always that allure of playing in LA, playing in New York, playing in Chicago, and rightfully so. I get it, but I think this is good. It's good for Giannis, good for NBA. Nice payday for him, that's for sure. So good on him, because this guy is okay. Very nice, extremely nice payday for him.
$47 million a year.
Hey man,
does anybody make
couldn't happen to a better sport? Couldn't happen to a better guy. I like Giannis, so I ain't mad at him. You can get that coin, you get it. You know what? That's just a hair under what I was offered to do this show with you. But I did it anyway because of how much respect I have for you. So, yeah, I mean, look, that's the money. That's the money. You take the money, Craig. You take the money.
Is there anyone making more money per year in sports than this?
That's a good question. Oh, yeah, Mahomes, oh. Britt just said in our ear. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes is doing okay. $7 billion a year.
I forgot about that, I guess.
Yeah,
Mahomes. So Mahomes and Giannis.
Yeah, 10 years, 500 will do that. Yeah. Well, it's NFL.
But that's not guaranteed. This is. So, I mean, look, I would assume Mahomes would play it out, but this is guaranteed $228 million. Wow. Crazy. And on
like
the Bucks.
Mahomes, what happened to a better guy? Yeah. Well, yeah, and good for the Bucks stepping up and saying, we're going to make this commitment and we're going to make Milwaukee basketball town. And I think that's great, too. I mean, they should. They've got the guy to do it. Now give him a little bit more help and, you know, see if he can make that run. I think last year was a sour note, but maybe you could just kind of chalk it up to COVID and just say, okay, and just move on with it. But this year is going to be more expectations with that kind of money for sure. So we'll see if Milwaukee can live up to those expectations.
Yeah, huge story today for sure. And I'm guessing the top story in sports now that Giannis said, yeah. I know there are a lot of NBA teams that thought that they were going to have a crack at him, and definitely not going to be the case now. I don't think
it's not the Greg Holland signing.
It's a little bit, it's close.
Okay.
James That's McCann fair. Style. James McCann. All right, well, speaking of Major League Baseball, all of the skippers, the managers of Major League Baseball are all doing their media sessions this week, talking about last year, talking about the offseason, talking about next year. And so throughout the week this week, we'll bring some of those to you and talk about some of the players that they're discussing. And as we get closer, we think, maybe, to the baseball season, it becomes a little bit more relevant. So one segment a day, about a 15-minute segment probably every day. We'll do a little bit of baseball discussion now that it's kind of back on the map again. We'll start off with the Baltimore Orioles, Brandon Hyde, the skipper of the Orioles, going into, by the way, his last year under contract with the Orioles as his manager. I think he's done as good a job as he could possibly do, given the circumstances there. One player he did not have in the 60-game season this past year was Trey Mancini, of course, who was going through chemotherapy and cancer treatments. And Hyde yesterday talked and gave an update on him speaking to Trey Mancini.
Spring. Yeah, I check in with Trey periodically. I talked to him a couple weeks ago. It was the last time I talked to him. He was just coming out. You know, he just got done working out. He's doing great. Feels great. Looks great. I've got video on him from you know, hitting in the facility that he works out in. And he looks exactly the same. So I'm excited to have Trey be a part of a full spring training in February. And I can't wait to see him. But all signs are great. And he looks fantastic.
And we're going to wait and see, obviously, on Mancini, Joe. But that's a player that's not going to be on a lot of people's radar, of course, because of him missing the 60-game season. And so happy to hear that he is cancer-free. I know his wife posted something today as well about that. But as we take a look at his numbers from 2019, you can't forget the kind of year that he had when he played that full year. 35 home runs with Baltimore in 154 games. 291 average, 364 on base percentage. The Orioles did shed a few more players this offseason, Joe. Renato Nunez is gone. They have young players that they want to see play. But look, it's going to be a little bit of a fantasy and reality guessing game on what we will see from Trey Mancini. But at the very least, it is a positive story to bring that he is going to return.
Very positive. Certainly one of the better things that we need to hear in 2020. We could use some good news, and Mancini's going to be on my radar. I will take that shot for sure on Trey Mancini because of what I saw in 2019, and all the deeper stats loved him too. The splits were good. Everything with Trey Mancini heading into 2020 was great, except his health. That was the only thing, and it wasn't an injury. It was a health issue. So as long as that health issue is now back on track, there's every reason to believe that this kid can bounce back. Still a good ballpark. Still some guys around him. Mountcastle's an exciting young player too. I know they've made some moves here, but look, Trey Mancini is one of the better sluggers in the American League. And I think people will forget that, or because they only had one great season, people will not trust it. I do, because of what I saw and what the stats say. And that's a good combination. That when both of those things are together, then it's not a lie. So good on Trey Mancini and good on the Orioles. Hopefully this will work out for both.
All right, let's move over to the Arizona Diamondbacks. And one of their key players is actually coming off a little bit of a down 60 gamer. Was Ketel Marte, who was a superstar 2 years ago in both reality and fantasy. Torey Lovello, the manager of the Diamondbacks, was asked yesterday where Lovello may play in 2020 in terms of on the field and in the field.
We'll probably have this conversation that he's going to be that combination type of player that can be as versatile as possible to help us maximize today's game to score as many runs. And we're thankful for that. So, yeah, you know, I'd love to say that he'd be our second baseman or shortstop or our center fielder, but we know that he can play those no matter what circumstances put before him. To answer that and say what could happen in the future, I don't know. I'm sure, you know, in my conversations with him, he likes the versatility. He likes bouncing around the baseball field. At the beginning, he wasn't sure about it, but he became used to it. And I think it's something that he really enjoys. So that'll be our start.
Well, Ketel Marte, Joe, certainly last year was not the year that everyone expected, but I think a lot of people are willing to throw it away a little bit. Let's take a look at his stats from last year. He played in 45 games and he hit just 2 home runs, which is kind of going back to what he was 2 years ago, 287 batting average, 323 OBP, 41 games at second, 2 games at short, and the outfield, 3 games. So Marte still will slot in for a lot of folks this year in fantasy at second base. I don't know if the Diamondbacks are going to end up playing him there or in the outfield, but certainly you have to wonder if there's a big bounce back coming because you don't want what you saw last year. By the way, he only stole 1 base.
Yeah, you're going to get a discount on Marte, and you should, because it was a dreadful 60 games for him. So maybe there was an underlying injury. Maybe it was a stop and start. You can make a lot of excuses, but at the end of the day, it just wasn't there. Now, I was one person who was very heavily invested in Marte 2 years ago. And last year, and I could tell you, you know, everything from 2018 second half told you that 2019 was going to be amazing, and it was. And then everything in 2019 that was built up that all looked good fell apart in 2020. So this is a real dicey scenario. To me, Marte is all about what value you get him in. If you can get a discount on him, you take it. If you have to pay anything close to full price, I think you move on. And second base is not great. So I kind of lean towards taking a little bit of a shot most of the time on Marte because the position as a whole is a little weak this year overall in terms of what you're going to find. And there's a lot of other guys like this, like Jose Altuve at the position, some guys that you have questions about. So if you're going to take questionable players, take a guy who's a little younger, and Marte certainly has that kind of upside. So we'll see if he bounces back. But he's a stock I got my eye on, but only at the right price.
Now, Lovello was also asked about all the rules that were put into the 60-game season. One rule that he would not like to see come back for 2021.
I'd say the one thing that I'm not totally in favor of would be the 7-8 doubleheaders. I know that there's a good reason why it's done, but I feel like, you know, the games are just a little bit too short. And those, you know, those last 2 innings of a baseball game are usually the most intense for me. And I miss that. I miss that in the 1 doubleheader that we played. And, but, you know, I know moving forward that Major League Baseball is going to continue to do what's best for the game. You know, whether or not, you know, my opinion is thrown out there on the doubleheaders, I'm not sure. I feel like they're on the cutting edge to make things work the best way possible. I know the extra inning feature was something that was very intriguing and exciting, led to some, you know, quick runs and rapid endings. And I think that's something that a lot of people are in favor of, so you don't blow up your entire team for the next day or perhaps the next series and have to make some, you know, an assortment of moves to reload. So that's something I think Major League Baseball is looking at very closely and something that I really enjoyed walking through in 2020.
And Joe, real quick to wrap this up, there's no doubt that I think there will be a runner on second base in extra innings, but the seven inning thing, I think I agree with the skipper. Time to go. All right, second. We'll talk more about baseball coming up next. Fantasy or reality is on deck, so stay right there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We got Fantasy Reality coming up. Just a quick recap. Giannis has signed a Supermax deal. Going to make him the highest paid player ever in the NBA. He's staying in Milwaukee for the next 5 years. In case you missed us about 5 minutes ago, you can go back and hit rewind, Joe. I need to give you an opportunity there to comment there on the rules from 2020 Major League Baseball. We just heard from Torrey Lovello. It appears as though a lot of the rules in baseball are coming back that we had last year for 2021. It seems almost universally everyone's in favor of putting a runner on second base in extra innings and getting the games over with. And it also seems universally nobody wants to have seven-inning doubleheaders. So that's kind of where things stand at the moment.
Yeah, look, I totally get the seven-inning thing because that's the integrity of baseball, and I get that. And it's a nine-inning game, and historically that's what it is, and you don't want – you know, look, what if you're a team that's – you know, really built strong in the bullpen, right? You know, well, I want to get to the bullpen. Bullpen's where we win games, you know, and I understand that. Construction's very different, and vice versa can be true. So I understand the seven-inning doubleheader not being something they want to do, and that's fair. I would love to see the DH back in the National League. I made no qualms, no bones about that. But the runner at second base, look, I loved it in the WBC a couple years ago. I thought it was great last year, and I thought it made some great drama, too. I watched a couple of those games live as that was happening, and it's like instant drama, and I think that's fantastic, and I think that becomes one of those great things where you know you can then set up to a cutaway on MLB Network or somewhere else where you could say, okay, hey, we're going to be starting this inning, and look, here we go. We got a guy on second to start this inning here in the 11th or whatever inning they end up deciding. I think that's a fantastic way to go about it. And also from the standpoint of injuries and travel and everything else, it's tough when you go these 15, 16 inning games on a getaway day. I mean, that is just nobody likes that. They have to get on the plane and then fly somewhere else to play another game the next day or the next afternoon, potentially. That's no fun. And on top of which, you know, you don't want to ruin your rotation. You want to ruin the bullpen for the next week and a half because you had to go fight this one game for 16, 17 innings. So give me that rule every day of the week. I'm happy with that. And I think that's one of those good things that will stay. And baseball needs to, you know, keep shaking things up like this. It's good to have change. It's good to have evolution. Baseball was a game that was constantly evolving, and then it kind of slowed down. And then every time it evolves, people complain. And then everybody realizes it's for the better. Like, let's say the wild card. Let's say the way they broke up the divisions. I mean, we can go on and on and on about how everybody complains whenever Major League Baseball changes anything because it's woven so much into the fabric of us as sports fans, and baseball is such an older game. It's America's pastime. It's all of that. It's a very complex situation. Everyone's measured statistically against the ghosts of baseball past. But really, the evolution of the game is what's going to keep it alive for the next generation and the next one. So let's not be afraid of evolution. I'm not saying change for the sake of change, but I'm definitely saying evolve if you can help improve the product on the field. And I think something like this does.
Yep. And I think we're going to see it. I think that's where we're headed in 2021. Yep. All right. Fantasy or reality? Let's get started here. What seems to be happening a lot in the NFL is the players are running to the end zone cameras and doing things at the end, celebrating, things of that nature. Look, there's no fans there this year, so players are coming up with different ideas, different things, and they're using this camera essentially to run across the field and celebrate. Fantasy or reality, the end zone celebrations in the NFL are lame. Fantasy or reality.
Well, this is for our esteemed boss, Mike Cardano, who is complaining about this and yelling at the sky on social media the other day about maybe I'm just old. He said, I don't like this at all. I like it. I think it's fantasy. I don't think it's lame. I think it's fun. And I think it's fun that's desperately needed because there is no fan interaction. So this is actually a way, I think, to interact with the fans, because the fans are now anticipating this moment of, oh, they're going to go and they're going to run in front of the camera and do something. Like, the whole team slid in front of the camera. You know, they have all these little performance pieces that they do. I give them credit for, you know, for creativity. I think there's been some pretty fun ones. There's been some dumb ones also, and a lot of retreads, which I don't like. If you're going to do it, be unique. Come up with something new. Don't just do the same old stuff everybody else is doing. So when it's a unique one, I especially like it. But I think there is sort of a connectivity, because they all know we could go here, we could have this moment, and that moment is actually with the fans through the TV screen. And it's for them, too. Let's not pretend it's not. So I actually think fantasy. I don't think it's lame. I think it's fun. Next year, when the crowds are back, I don't know if it's going to stay. We'll see what happens. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's okay for me. I also, the one thing I will say that is odd is the fact that they run all the way down in the other end zone. I guess it may be the end zone camera only one spot. I could do without. If they just do it where the camera is right next to them, then fine. But less breaks in sports, better sports watching, I like. I don't know. I sound like Yoda there. But either way, I think that more breaks the cameras in the end zone. Putting cameras in the end zone are fine, but them running across the field, like they do it in one end zone and then running all the way across, I don't get the fascination with that.
Yeah,
so
that is weird.
I will say it is not lame, but they could use a little tinkering, I think. So Mike isn't
that's fair.
Totally off on that one. Did he spell everything right in that tweet, by the way? Because that's the bigger question.
I am not at liberty to say that.
Yeah, probably not. Okay, Josh Jacobs of the Raiders. This one, he fooled me, because somebody had asked me, should they play Jacobs? And then I saw him either on Instagram or whatever tweet this out that he wasn't playing in a game on Sunday. And why he did this, I really don't know. But he definitely got me, because I texted someone, hey, Josh Jacobs is not playing. Come to find out that he was, and this was all a joke. Fantasy or reality, you will draft Josh Jacobs after his stunt this past Sunday.
I got to say, this one's, you know, as a fantasy dude, this one really pushes the envelope for me. I'm not happy about this. Like, it's not funny. And it's not funny because it's not week three. Okay, this is fantasy playoffs. And you're trolling people during a fantasy playoffs. I don't like that. And you know, like, he's got enough time to do that. You know, there's some time to do other things. Now, more to the point, Josh Jacobs, I think, is a very tricky asset anyway. Josh Jacobs has looked great at times this year, not so great in others. I think Josh Jacobs is a very talented running back. The question is what cost you get him at. And now when you're adding this in with the injuries and all that stuff, I got to tell you, it kind of feels like reality. It kind of feels like this is a player that I just don't want on my fantasy team, because at the end of the day, after I'm going to have to go to the press conference after a loss and talk about why Josh Jacobs didn't play and he told me he was going to play. And everybody hates that press conference. And I don't want to give that press conference on Twitter afterwards. So I'm going to say, you know what? Reality. I don't like it. I'm not going to actually, no, wait. You will draft Josh Jacobs.
You will.
Let me get the wording straight.
Yeah.
Fantasy. I will not. I don't like the stunt. I don't like the injuries. No. Sorry, Josh. You went too far. Not in the playoffs. You don't do this to another man. You don't mess with another man's money. Not in the playoffs. Or woman's money, for that matter. Sorry.
Right.
Craig?
True. Yeah, I will say reality. I'll still draft Jacobs in the right spot. I definitely understand where you're coming from here, and you don't ever want to see this happen, because there's been such a nice, I would say, wave of players embracing fantasy and understanding what it means. And this is completely the other side of that. And so I get what you're saying. I'll still draft him, and I won't hold that against him. But at the same time, we also don't know, did something happen? Were people attacking him on Twitter or something? And this was his retaliation. I really don't know. And I can't get inside his head and ask that question. But I doubt you'll see him do this again. And so I'm willing to let one of these slide. And if I feel like I get him at a good price next year, then
you're very forgiving, Craig. I kind of prefer the players that acknowledge that fantasy exists. You know, because there's a whole contingent of players, and you know it, in baseball, football, and all the sports, where they're like, fantasy nerds, all this stuff. But, you know, fantasy nerds are spending a lot of time watching, purchasing, all that stuff. It all kind of comes to, you know, all ends up in your pocket someday as the player in some fashion. So I kind of feel like, in a way, I don't think you should respect the nerd base of fantasy, but at least acknowledge it. And I kind of like the players that acknowledge it. Like, there's nothing better than when a player goes out and goes, hey, man, I had a terrible game, and I just want to also say I'm sorry I let my fantasy owners down. Like, that is great. Yeah. I find that very endearing. But I think the other side of that, when people who are trolling the fantasy people, I don't think that's really cool, because at the end of the day, This is how we're watching the game. Do you think a lot of people would care what Josh Jacobs was doing or saying if there was no fantasy? Not outside of the Las Vegas team.
Well, betting, they would be very interested regardless. But yeah, I understand the point. The point is well taken. The one thing that I've learned over the last few years is that you don't hear a lot of baseball players saying this anymore because they're all playing fantasy football now. So most of them are pretty transparent when they don't. Now, some of the football guys, you're right. I still see them saying, oh, I don't care about your fantasy team. The baseball players don't say that because they have those players on the fantasy football team. They are done saying that. They don't bash it anymore. But the football players, you're right, still do. And honestly, a defensive lineman or a defensive back, I understand there are IDP leagues. Let's be honest, 2% of this country is playing in IDP leagues. Maybe that's a high number. But anyway, I will draft Josh Jacobs. I'll give him a mulligan on that one. All right, finally, this is one that's really interesting here because, of course, we have a kicker now, a female kicker kicking in college football. And it does lend the question that we will see a female kicker in the NFL in our lifetime. And for purposes of our fantasy reality discussion, we're going to say we will see. So what do you think, Joe? Is this fantasy or reality?
You know, I think it's reality. I think that when you have these moments here where somebody's the first somewhere and it kind of opens the floodgate, I think it changes the way people react to these things. And I think then someone sees this and a young girl sees this who's a great athlete and wants to be a professional athlete. Maybe she's a soccer player. Maybe she's a football player. You know, maybe she's playing in a flag league or even a Pop Warner league. And she looks at this and she says, I can. So maybe it's not the normal pivot of as I go through high school and I go through college, I kind of put those dreams aside. And I think that is the difference. Now it's okay to dream because it can be done. And you know, we had Kim Ng a couple weeks ago take over as general manager. And I told you that story. My godbrother said, if this had happened when in the 80s, it would have changed her entire career path, knowing that that was even an option to work at that kind of level. And she was a very successful business person, but she would have changed everything in her path. Just because when you see that in front of you, there's that moment where you go, oh, okay, it's not crazy. It's not impossible. And I think you are going to see it. At some point in time, you'll see, at least in a camp, somebody take a shot. Now, look, at the end of the day, kicking's gotten so bad, I'll put anybody. If there's a horse that can go out there, like some of those old movies from the 50s, and go out there and make a field goal, I'd like to see that too. Anybody who can make a field goal or an extra point right now in the NFL is welcome as far as I'm concerned. But I actually think this is something we are going to see. So I'm going to say reality. We will see it at some point in time in our lifetime.
Yeah, this is tough. I mean, this is very different than Kim Ng sitting in an office. But
it is.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very physical
kickers
sport.
Are protected, though. Kickers are a little bit more protected.
They are. I just would hate to see a serious injury happen. That would be my concern. I will agree with you. I will say reality in our lifetime. I would not say this is something in the next 5 years, maybe even not the next 10. I do think eventually it will happen. It will take a special woman to go through it and get into it and become a kicker. I'll say reality on this, but I do think that it's a little bit of a different conversation once you're talking about that. But college is the first step. There's no doubt that is, and it's a very first step. The other part of this too is that the kicker is going to have to be very good. Like that's part of this too. That's like not even part of the equation. That like the kicker is going to have to be excellent to get to the NFL. Right. I mean, these kickers, regardless if they're male or female, don't get drafted ever. Like there's what, two kickers drafted every year, maybe. So definitely odds are up against it, but eventually I do think it will happen. Lifetime, hopefully for both of us, is a long time. So I would say that's
very long.
How about over under 10 years? Would you say, what would you say there
on what, our lifetime or the kicker?
No, now, if I changed the question and I gave you an over under of 10 years for
I'm
a female
be under
kicker.
with the way the pace of things are going and female athletics, I'm going to say under. I think it's going to be close to that, but I would say under, actually, to tell you the truth.
I probably would say over on that one. Okay, we're going to end the show. We got the Sports Grid 60 coming back, so make sure you stay on the grid and stay tuned. We'll have our final thoughts, and, of course, we'll be right back tomorrow. Noon Eastern on Sports Today. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Sports
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Wow, Giannis is going to make $47 million a year to play in the NBA. Congratulations to him playing with the Milwaukee Bucks as he signs that Supermax extension. I wonder what's higher than Supermax. I'll find it out in a few years. Super Duper Max? Okay, let's turn it over to Joe. He's got the Sports Grid 60. Joe?
Yes, those are some serious bucks. That's for sure. Ah, dad jokes. All right. I want to talk about Deebo Samuel because, unfortunately, the season is ending for Deebo the same way it started, injured. And that's not great because he spent a good chunk of his rookie season injured. And here we are again with a player of enormous talent and a system that is tailor-made for him. But injuries are basically taking him away from us in the fantasy community. And at a certain point, this is the question we have to ask ourselves. Is the talent worth the investment? Is the juice worth the squeeze? And when it comes to Deebo Samuel right now, going into 2021, I got to tell you, it better be an extreme discount because Brandon Ayuk looks terrific in this offense. They reached for this guy. They drafted him specifically because he fits that Kyle Shanahan, that mold of that guy who can go over the middle in those quick slants. And Ayuk has really come on strong these last few weeks without Deebo being around. So if Ayuk can be a true number one, he might just pass him on the depth chart when all is said and done. And Deebo Samuel might unfortunately have a fantasy career that's over before it begins. Now, I hope that's not the case. I hope good health is on the horizon. But in terms of good investment, that is a huge question for next year when it comes to this wide receiver, Deebo Samuel of the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I already drafted him for next year. I've already did my draft like a year in advance and I already have him. So what am I going to do? Okay, let's end with this. USA Today reports Major League Baseball may not begin the season in April, thinking of considering starting it in May. Look, this is not something that I want to hear today for sure. Been looking forward to baseball coming back, having a regular spring training in February, March, and April. Here's what I would say. In this day and age of the pandemic, every day is a week, every week is a month, every month felt like a year, and we all know that is true. Let's slow down a little bit, see where we're at in a few weeks in terms of this vaccine, see where people are feeling, see if it's possible to even get it. And then we can start making analysis about things that are going to happen in April. Still 4 months away. Please chill. That'll do it for the show. Thanks to LTN, Brett, Danny, Ryan, for my co-host Joe. I'm Craig. See you tomorrow at noon. Have a great day.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.